meaning having flexibility and being able to work out anywhere, anytime, on any platform. And I think that people are aware that within our industry, one of the key things for operators is being able to bridge that gap between the live experience and the digital experience, and really giving people an integrated fitness experience.
Hi there. Welcome to the Business Side of Fitness podcast. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Each week on the show, I leverage my 2 decades of experience in the fitness and wellness industry to have meaningful conversations with the movers and shakers behind some of the most well-known and innovative brands in our industry. This show is brought to you by Vanessa Severiano, LLC. To find out more about working with me, click the link in the show notes. And now the time has come to start the show. Everyone's got a story, and it's time to hear from this week's guest. Let's welcome to the show Sean Turner. He's the CEO of Les Mills US, an international group fitness brand delivering life-changing fitness experiences for over 50 years. Sean has been with the company since 2018 when he relocated from Europe to Chicago to spearhead Les Mills United States expansion initiatives. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks, Vanessa. Great to be here.
I am so excited to dive in today. You have a huge background in the fitness industry, and Les Mills is an iconic brand in the fitness industry, and I'm really excited to learn from you today. Why don't we just kind of get started with you sharing your background, how you originally got started off in the industry, and what ultimately led to you becoming the CEO of Les Mills US?
Wow, long story, but I'll keep it short. Always been involved in sports and fitness from being very athletic growing up. Studied within the health sciences field as well, and then always have been working in and around sports and fitness. I was a personal trainer in the early days of personal training, early 90s, in different countries around the world. Built a business through that. Dabbled in some human skills coaching and development for teams as well for a while. Worked a bit in retail. And then I got hired by one of the largest traders in the luxury space in Europe, Homes Place, to start off and manage and operate their clubs and their club growth in Central Eastern Europe when I lived in Prague at the time. So that was really exciting, and to kind of put a footprint in and do that. And within that, I had diverse roles within that organization over a 15-year period. So worked from operations through sales and marketing into digital transformation, where I was the CEO for a while and led that transformation. And then ultimately moved into the CMO position and also developed another few brands under the Homes Place Group umbrella. And then moved on and came to Les Mills, as we were a partner of Les Mills and worked quite intensively with Les Mills at the time all over the world. And also I had colleagues that had been and moved through the organizations to Les Mills. So I knew quite a lot about the organization. And then I got the opportunity to come to the US and couldn't say no.
So you have this very diverse background working internationally within the fitness industry. From your observations, how does the fitness industry in the US compare to other markets?
Great question. I think that when I worked in Europe, we always looked to the US as the innovator and the leader in the industry because the industry is the largest and most progressive. I think that that's true, but over time, Europe has actually developed a lot in the industry, learned off the US, and in some areas, I would say, have disrupted and evolved in some areas beyond what we see in the US. So I think in the US, you have very progressive brands in certain areas, but you have some lag with some of the mid-market, let's say, within the industry. So I think that progressive in some elements, but lagging in some other elements in the US. In Europe, a lot of the disruption has come from what you call here HVLP 2.0. And that has really driven mid-market clubs and other clubs to grow very quickly. And I think also the customer experience there is, as is in the US, super important, but they bring a European design and flair to the clubs, which I'm starting to see now in the US, but previously clubs were more functional here than designed. And we're starting to see that happen in the US now. So I think it's on a healthy trajectory. And I think that it's bouncing back based on some of the disruption and innovation that's happening in other countries that start from zero.
And what about the Les Mills brand? How is the Les Mills brand in the US compared to, you know, the home base in New Zealand? Is it the same throughout or is it a bit different because that's home?
Oh, we like to think that the brand's consistent. I think we're very focused on our brand, how we market, how we deliver our brand and our services and products all over the world. So I think that that's pretty consistent. But of course, home based in New Zealand, we also have an operate club. So we have almost the live lab within Auckland and around New Zealand where we can test things out before we bring them to market in a real operator setting. So we really understand the operator better. So that's different in New Zealand. And obviously also, as I said, it's our home base. So, you know, everybody in New Zealand knows Les Mills. We're really an institution and, you know, legacy down there. So that's what makes us so popular down there, and everybody knows us, whereas we're not as well known in other countries outside of New Zealand, although we are global in over 110 countries. And I would say we're the biggest group fitness partner for clubs with, you know, a lot of clubs and a lot of instructors all around the world.
And through partnership, what type of business would be an ideal, you know, partner for Les Mills? Is it that mid-market club that you were mentioning has some opportunity, or are there other fits as well?
I think we've developed our products and our offering to really fit all of the segments within the fitness market. So from, you know, more traditional clubs to smaller footprint clubs that are starting to really develop quickly. And also HVLP 2.0 is a very good fit for us because a lot of those clubs are really trying to enhance the member experience through having great Group X. So that's very interesting and a great area for us that we work in. And then also we're in the premium segment that really wants to have the best in class with our, you know, omni-channel or hybrid model sometimes. And they might even go into higher end boutiques within clubs that we can also offer in that segment. So we've got really something for everyone, but it really depends on what their goals are and what they're trying to achieve. And then we look at partnering to give them something that's bespoke that fits best towards their goals.
I think sometimes, you know, brands think of a partnership and they kind of hesitate because they think, oh, we're kind of losing our brand control or our brand identity by partnering with another brand, or they're hesitant based on costs. You know, how does Les Mills help brands overcome these common fears?
Well, I think it's really about, you know, really identifying their challenge and then being able to address that with the same solution. Naturally, if we don't have a common solution and we can't help them, generally we wouldn't go into that type of partnership. Often, you know, we provide a tool to help them and consultancy to help our partners achieve their goals. But obviously it's a two-way relationship and we often work through our partners. So also if we find a partner isn't committed to actually really driving the activities that they need to do to be able to achieve their goals, that makes it difficult for us to partner with them as well. And often, you know, we might get into a situation where we know that the partnership won't work. So we'll probably avoid it in that case, like most businesses would do, because it could, as you mentioned, hurt our brand, or we won't be able to deliver the consistency and quality that we feel befits our brand within that organization. So those would be the key areas. But in general, I think most partners are pretty excited in the Group X space. And if they're committed to us and come to us for help and consultancy or to work in the partnership, there's high motivation. And with our help, we can obviously help them solve some of those challenges. You know, retention is a big one that we're always speaking about in the industry. And as you can see, across those segments and across all different types of partners, they're experiencing that challenge. And then also there's the big challenge of competition and what's happening and trends happening in the markets. So generally, we could, across those segments and with the right type of commitment and motivation, when people come to speak to us, we can actually help them solve for those two big issues.
I feel like retention is a huge one right now because a lot of brands, you know, struggle to deliver a high quality omni-channel presence. And people, you know, that's like the buzzword right now. Everybody's saying, oh, omni-channel, omni-channel. And a lot of these brands maybe don't have the resources to produce a high quality omni-channel experience. And I would definitely implore brands to say, hey, instead of spreading yourself so thin, trying to create an experience that may not be so stellar on the consumer end, it's better to partner and outsource certain experiences. So are you seeing that, you know, a lot of brands are coming to that realization, or is it still something that you're finding that some brands are still grappling with?
No, I think that that's true. And we anticipated that that would happen. We have, there's the same challenge in the live space. I would say we've navigated that for years, that people, our biggest competitor often in the live space is what we call freestyle, or people developing their own programming. I think that that is a challenge. And I think that you're right, but some people have to go through that to learn the cost and the resource that actually goes behind actually doing that. It, you know, working on the operator side for years and developing content, et cetera, on our own at a very high level, it's actually quite challenging. Not many clubs, as you say, or organizations can do it. Some do it better than others, but ultimately it's unlikely that they're going to have the resource and the infrastructure that we do as Les Mills, having done this for over 50 years, to be able to film and develop high quality content. I think the other thing behind that is the amount of research and science that goes into the development of our programming. So you may be able to do it for a short amount of time, but if you want to keep the customer interested and keep coming back, you have to keep evolving and refreshing. And that takes a lot of resource and effort as well. And I think that this is all we do, really. I mean, we're in the business of motivation, and we really think of the quality of motivation from the music, rock stars, instructors, the environment, how it's filmed. We put a lot of money and effort into that. So I think that's where the quality comes in. And that's, you know, it's an ROI call to your initial point, ultimately. Like, how much would you spend by yourself? What does it bring in from a customer perspective? How much does it engage? And how much would it cost you to do that by yourself versus outsourcing and allowing you to really focus on the key elements of your business that you're good at and leaving the things that you might not be as good at to someone else that's all they do?
One of the things that really impresses me about the Les Mills brand is that you really are on the forefront of research, always looking to see how consumer demands are shifting, what's next, always looking to evolve, which is a testament to being around for 50 years, right? Not many brands can say that. And so, Sean, how has that consumer demand shifted in the last several years, and how has Les Mills adapted to meet that consumer demand?
Yeah, I mean, if I look back at my experience on the operator side, one of my big frustrations was when consumers became more connected and started to move to the digital front, our industry was quite slow in adapting, because at the time we were doing quite well with the way, you know, we were operating at that time. And I'm speaking about, you know, probably early 2000s, you know. So having seen that, I was really motivated to get in and see how consumer behavior was shifting and to make sure the operators that I was working for at the time would adapt accordingly. So it's a subject that's close to my heart, let's say. I think we have lagged in the industry in general. And I think we have been slow to adapt to the needs of the consumer from, as you mentioned, omnichannel, hybrid. These have been heightened terms post-COVID, but they've always been there. And consumers have expected to get that delivery from other retailers, but we haven't given it to them in fitness. And that's been a bit of a wake-up call and a catalyst to the industry to actually adapt. And wow, have we as an industry adapted quickly at lightning speed? So I think it's been impressive how the industry have adapted. From a Les Mills perspective, we've always closely monitored customer trends and, as you say, try to be on the cutting edge. So we got into digital quite early. And maybe it's fair to say that some of the things we did were maybe a little early for our partners maybe to catch up and actually get into it. But now I think that people really realize the importance of meeting consumers where they're at, meaning having flexibility and being able to work out anywhere, anytime, on any platform. And I think that people are aware that within our industry, one of the key things for operators is being able to bridge that gap between the live experience and the digital experience and really giving people an integrated fitness experience. So I think we're there in the understanding. And I think that we've benefited in a weird way through this catalyst for change by having the products and having the services that actually allow people to bridge that gap from live into the digital at home space and digital in club space. So I think that we're going to continue looking at that. We're going to continue innovating. One of the big things now is, you know, how you exercise and have real fun for the people that aren't necessarily in the 20% that exercise already. And you're starting to see gaming experiences. And so obviously you may know that we've looked at VR, we have a VR product out. And that's a very interesting space because it really allows people to optimize working out, but having an entertainment experience. So you've probably heard the word entertainment over the years. So looking at different ways on how we can really up the level of motivation and get people really involved in exercise and get moving while having fun. So we're always looking at those angles and, as I said, continuously developing in our live labs in New Zealand to see what consumers really want.
I feel like retention is something that a lot of these businesses are struggling with right now because consumers are almost like, I think there was a quick shift where consumers were, oh my gosh, all of a sudden the fitness industry was very fast to adopt. And perhaps before I had very limited online options or on-demand options, suddenly I'm flooded with so many options. And it seems like, you know, the lifetime value of a customer was going down while people were testing all these different experiences. And so have you seen that kind of start to taper off a bit now and become a little bit more stable? Or is that something that consumers are still just testing and trying so many different offerings?
Yeah, look, I think that during COVID, as you say, there were lots of options. And I think that consumers' tolerance for many options at different quality levels has kind of bottomed out. And now they're seeking really high quality solutions in that space. We did a customer survey or a global consumer survey around fitness participants. And most people said that they're 80% likely to continue with the digital experience post-pandemic. And we've seen that to be true. And I mean, I'm sure if both of us, we're connected in the industry, but we probably still do things at home. And the split that most people preferred was the 60-40 split. So you might have heard that stat. That stat come from from this consumer survey that we did. And people said they're most likely to go 60% of their time to a live experience, and 40% of their time to continue in the digital experience. Personally, and with other people I know, that seems to be true. So I'm not sure what the experience for you is, but we're seeing that people, one, look for a very high quality experience. They're looking to have a digital and a live experience, but live is really making a bounce back and there's a huge live revival. And we all in the industry know why that is. You know, live's always going to be the pinnacle, but digital does drive live, we're seeing, but people want to keep both.
Right. And that makes total sense. And it's really in support of the way that we're carrying on with working from home. A lot of people live, you know, in a different type of lifestyle now where they're traveling and they're not necessarily going into the office, and you're able to maintain that same experience, whether you're going into the studio or whether you're working out at home or you're taking your workout on the road with you. So, and I love that Les Mills also offers so many different modalities in the exercises. So you really do get that variety as a consumer to stay engaged. It's not just the same old, same old. So it's no secret, Sean, that, you know, obviously recruitment is a huge issue for those of us in the service industry. So how is Les Mills supporting fitness brands with recruiting and retaining staff?
Yeah, it's interesting. We were on a call yesterday with our teams globally, and that was one of the big things that came up when we were speaking about what our partners are most interested in. So you're totally right, Vanessa. It's a huge thing across industries, but of course also in the fitness industry. And it's super important because it's one of the most important things that gives you, it differentiates you from a lot of your competition. But at the same time, it's really challenging now that people can go online, et cetera, from instructor point of view. So I think the first thing is that the basics don't change, I think. You know, the culture of the company, how attractive it is to work there, what the work environment's like, how competitive you are with compensation and benefits, et cetera, especially if you're trying to attract Gen Z, you know, do you have CSR and DEI in place, things like that, that are important to them. So I think that forms the basis in every industry. And I think over and above that, you know, the way we help them is we teach them how to recruit rockstar instructors. And also we have Les Mills Connect, which is a digital platform that helps connect clubs with instructors and instructors with clubs in their local areas. So they can connect Les Mills instructors with Les Mills programming. It is still a challenge in a lot of areas, especially possibly more rural areas sometimes, to find their rockstar instructors. But for us, we're constantly looking at ways that we can help our partners in this space and running launch events, webinars, education, and actually also driving recruitment drives within their clubs and from areas around their club. So those are the ways we support them, but also we teach them ways on how they can look out and recruit instructors that not necessarily are instructors yet. So for example, some of the leading clubs that we work with will recruit from participants within their Group X studios. A lot of people that go to the classes are actually super energetic and could become great instructors, but are not sure how to do it. And sometimes just speaking to them and asking them if they're interested, that actually contributes to recruitment as well. We have some partners that 20 to 30% of their instructor base come from members actually that participate in Group X. I was actually just in New York with one of our partners a few weeks ago, and she is a great instructor, and she was what we call the front row, recruited from the front row by one of our master instructors because she was so engaged, and she's become an instructor and actually gone on to executive level within this organization. So quite amazing what you can find straight within your clubs. I think also, you know, often we overlook the personal trainers and how they can actually come into Group X. And often that combination is great for your membership and your engagement within your clubs. And then obviously there's also looking beyond your clubs and having an always on approach to recruiting, you know, even outside your organization. If you're a group fitness manager, you know, and you go to a dance performance or you see athletes or other people or any type of performers, you know, are you thinking, wow, this person could be a great instructor and could we convert them, get them motivated and excited in that space? I think ultimately we work in such a great industry. It always baffles me why more people wouldn't want to work once they discover how cool it is in the industry that we work in and how motivated and passionate people are.
Such great points. You made me laugh over here when you said recruited from the front row, because I think we've all seen those people that, you know, it's like those. And when you say rock star instructor, I mean, really, like, people idolize their instructor. I have myself been such a fangirl of certain people that just really motivate me, inspire me, get me going. And I have seen so many people that are like, they will fight for that spot in the first row. So I could definitely see how those would be a perfect for recruitment. I think another opportunity that's out there for those of us in the industry is this corporate wellness concept. I think that, you know, when we talk about recruitment, it's not just, and retention, it's not just the fitness industry that's struggling with that. It's many industries. And I think corporate wellness is a great recruitment and retention strategy for other brands that are out there. And so how does Les Mills work in the corporate wellness front?
Oh, that's a great question. Very, very similar to how clubs look to partner with corporate wellness, we also partner with them. So we have partners that operate health clubs within corporate programs. So for example, you know, within large organizations, they'll have a gym on campus for all their teams. So we do that. But we have done that for years. A big one that's come through the pandemic is really how they engage their employees or their teams in health and fitness and education around nutrition, et cetera. And that's in the digital space. So a lot of those corporations have turned to us, or healthcare providers have turned to us to partner with them to deliver, you know, a really high quality content and education in that space. So a lot of that's digital. Some of that's also through webinars or through their intranet sometimes, and also through different types of content. But obviously there's a live element as well. And then also virtual in office is also an option where you have classes streamed to these organizations. So the digital element has really helped us in that space and really grown the awareness for us across some of those corporate wellness or healthcare providers across the US especially. But also in the UK and other countries, of course, it's an interesting space for us.
Right. And it's a great way to keep remote staff engaged as well, right? It's a special perk and bonus. Sean, another thing that impresses me about Les Mills is the Fit Planet initiative. Can you share a bit about that? Because I think audience development, right? You talked about the 20%. What about that 80% that we haven't tapped into? What are we doing to reach out to them? And how is Les Mills running this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, Les Mills has a very strong purpose and mission as an organization, and that's to create a fitter planet. And when we say that, it's not only about fitness, it's about, you know, sustainability and the health and fitness of the planet, so to speak. You know, our founders and all of our team are really connected to that. And people that know us have seen over the years, we have a number of partnerships in that space, like with UNICEF, you know, delivering water to villages, et cetera, in certain countries that struggle in that area. And we've done workouts for water in the past that allows us to work with our club partners also to get their members and the wider community engaged. Currently, we're also working on, you know, planting trees. We have a program internally within our company. So for example, on every person's birthday for the last few years, you know, our organization plants a tree, you know, to work against deforestation, you know, improve the climate and the overall health of the planet. And at the moment, also now for all the programs we sell, we actually have also started driving that. So we have big goals. One of our corporate goals is also basically how many trees we plant over the next few years. So that's also a huge element of our organization. And it's within our KPIs for every country and across the globe, you know, how many trees we plant. And that's connected back to our financial and corporate goals around programming, club growth, et cetera, as well.
That blows my mind. You don't hear a KPI that is related to giving back that often. In fact, that's the first time I've heard that. So that just makes me love the Les Mills brand even more. Sean, you've had such a breadth of experience. You've been in the industry internationally, worked with so many people. What is the accomplishment that you're most proud of when you look back on your career?
Wow. I actually, I've worked with some really incredible people and teams and organizations. I've been really lucky, done some amazing things, developed some really cool brands, which was super fun. But I think the way we've managed the organization through COVID is probably, and it's the freshest in my mind. But I think the ability to be flexible, to change, to get people on board, to create a positive culture in very, very challenging times, and to actually produce pretty solid results as a team. You know, I'm really proud of my team and the organization for how we've navigated that. So I would say, as a group, you know, you never alone as a leader, you have an army of people behind you that make things happen. I think that that's probably what the freshest in my mind and probably what I'm most proud of from as a team, as an organization, and possibly my leadership too.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to be willing to evolve to, you know, that's how we end up lasting, right? Working with, you know, a brand that's had such a track record of success over the course of time, and you yourself that's been able to sustain a successful career in the industry for such a long period of time, you have to be adaptable to change. And I think that's something that I personally have to remind myself all the time, like, hey, no, you can't be longing of the way that things used to be. You know, this is the here and now, and you have to keep pushing forward. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, Sean. If somebody wants to connect with you or learn more about the Les Mills brand, how can they do that?
Well, we're very open with our emails, et cetera. So people can email me simple, sean.turner@lesmills.com. We're also through our website. We're pretty responsive if someone gets into that. We will be at IRSA. Can't remember our booth number, but we usually go all out. So you'll see us there and I'll be around. And, you know, we're a pretty welcoming and open organization. So, you know, if you see me around, feel free to come up and chat and let's see how we can create a fitter planet together.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If it brought you value, please subscribe, review, and share the Business Side of Fitness podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with me, please click the link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.